if somebody feels like they're hitting a wall working with the city, they will probably get over that if they change the approach just a little bit, working with the staff, even if it's just to try and understand things.
Welcome to The Housing Advocate, the podcast of the Southern Utah Home Builders Association. My name is Stacy Young, and today I'm pleased to be joined by Nathan Fisher. Nathan is our counsel for the Southern Utah Home Builders and has been for a number of years. But today we're mostly going to talk about the Planning Commission. He's also been a planning commissioner for many years, and so I'm really excited to get his insights and share those with you. So welcome to the show, Nathan. Appreciate you doing this.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Super. So maybe before we get too deep on the Planning Commission side of it, though, I would like to hear just a little bit more about how you became involved in SUBA and what that experience has been like and just a little bit of that part of your background and what you do generally for your practice.
Well, I first came to St. George back in 97 and was starting a real estate practice where I had clients that were dealing with real estate, construction, development, and had a neighbor that was involved in the Home Builders Association. And he mentioned that it was a great organization, good one to participate in, and a good way to give back to our community. So I looked into it and got involved in the education committee to try and provide something that might be worthwhile to the members. And my involvement just grew from there. He was correct. It is a great organization. And the people that I got to know, got to associate with, has from the very beginning been just tremendous for me and not just for my practice, but just personally. I've learned from people and I'm a better person because of the relationships I've developed there at SUBA.
Yeah. No, it's great to hear. And yeah, you're such a mainstay of the organization and such an important part of it. I know you're still involved in the education side of it as well. And that fits into your larger, you're such a service-oriented guy. So I really appreciate your involvement and you are such an important part of the association. And it's been great to get to know you a little bit over the years in that capacity as well as on the Planning Commission. I think that's where we first crossed paths. And that's been a number of years. How many years ago was that now? And how did you get involved in the Planning Commission to begin with?
I think it started in, I want to say it was 2011. It could have been 2010, but my recollection is 2011. I was approached by Mayor MacArthur at that time. I think he'd received my name from somebody else. I can't remember who had recommended, but he was looking for somebody that he could appoint to the Planning Commission. A seat was open, and so we spent some time together, and it was interesting talking to him and understanding what he's looking for and what the city was doing at the time, and it seemed to fit well with the things that I do representing developers and contractors, and a great way, again, to be involved in the community and try to give back, again, something that we try to do. So he appointed me, and I was on the commission. I remember Kim Campbell was there, an architect I learned a lot from him. Mm-hmm. Ron Bracken was the chair at the time, and Ross Taylor was there.
Right.
And so it was just some great individuals that I learned a tremendous amount from. And what was really interesting is each came with background that was useful for the decisions that needed to be made at the Planning Commission. For example, Kim Campbell, with his architecture background, identified things that I would never have noticed. Right. Certainly land use law was easy for me in dealing with those issues and zoning and general plan, those kinds of things. But boy, his knowledge was just tremendous. And I've noticed in the years that I've been there, so I've been there since then. After Mayor MacArthur, it was Mayor Pike, and he asked me to stay on for a little longer, and that went a few terms. And then now Mayor Michelle Randall, and it's been just for me a treat to see the development of the city and its approach to land use in St. George over those years with different city councils and different mayors. So it's been a great, I guess, 13 years, and hopefully I'm helpful still there and not stale. Hopefully I provide something.
Yeah, as somebody that is in front of planning commissions and councils fairly frequently, we really appreciate you and all the service that you've done in that capacity. You've been a really steady hand through, like you alluded to, there's been a fair amount of turnover around you over the years, and I think that's healthy as well. I think it's nice to have kind of a mix of folks that have a little more tenure in on the planning commission and then have some folks that are maybe rotating in and out as well. And I think St. George has done also a pretty good job of what you mentioned of composing a planning commission that has kind of a complementary set of skills so that projects are being viewed through a few different lenses. And but yeah, you absolutely have been a wonderful planning commissioner, fantastic chair, and keeping things on track. These agenda items can sprawl at times, and it's really helpful to have somebody that can distinguish between the issues that are more relevant from less relevant and what really the application is getting at in on a given evening. That kind of leads to one of my first set of more technical questions. I thought it might be useful as a starting point to help our listeners understand kind of where the Planning Commission sits within our system of land use in Utah, kind of what the role is, where it sort of begins and ends, and maybe that'll lead into some of the laws that come to bear in the form of general plans and zoning and how those are different from, say, preliminary plats and so on. But I'll just open it up to start with and have you explain a little bit about where the Planning Commission fits within all this.
Sure. I think just looking at it generally, it's designed to handle the land use within a jurisdiction, whether it's a municipality, a town, the state, county, whatever it is. In this case, it would be within the St. George municipality. And I think its role is primarily to hopefully handle the heavy lifting when it comes to land use in order to clean things up and mm-hmm. package it well for the city council. Mm-hmm. So most of the things that the Planning Commission does is in the context of making a recommendation to the city council for approval. And there are a handful of things that are decided at the Planning Commission level. And that's, in fact, interestingly enough, has gone through some iterations over the years where St. George City has tried to streamline the process mm-hmm. and make it easier for developers. I think there are probably some developers out there or many, I'm not sure, that might feel like it's not very streamlined. But the one thing I have seen is that the city has tried to streamline it. Could it be better? Sure, I'm sure everywhere we can do things. But the one thing I have seen with St. George City is they are trying to streamline things and make things better. So with the Planning Commission, they've added some things that don't require city council approval that ends at the Planning Commission and developers can move on or applicants can move on. But many of the things are just a recommendation to city council. And so I think the Planning Commission's role is to try and identify unique issues, difficult issues, try and clean them up, work with the developer to get it done. The reality is staff does a tremendous amount mm-hmm. behind the scenes before it ever comes in front of Planning Commission. And they clean up so much already. And then obviously they bring some things to they bring it to the Planning Commission and hope that the Planning Commission can help clean things up as well in order to make a really clean package for city council. So mm-hmm. I think that's primarily the role of the Planning Commission is to help developers put together an application that hopefully when it gets to city council, it's straightforward, simple, and doesn't get congested mm-hmm. through other issues that have been resolved by the Planning Commission or by staff.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me expand on a couple of those things with you. So one thing about the body then is that it's meant to be kind of an apolitical body, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of sitting in between the full-time staff and the elected council and performing that role, like you said, of vetting applications, cleaning them up, and getting them ready for action by the council when it comes to legislative issues, right? And you alluded to the fact that now there are some elements that are allowed. In fact, as St. George City has sort of codified this are required to end at the Planning Commission, and those we call administrative items. So it might be helpful for our listeners to kind of tease out that distinction a little bit and also attach that to specific steps in the development process.
I guess without getting down into the weeds too much with the law, probably the simplest way to look at it is just like you had referred to, there's really two kind of classes of applications. One's going to be a legislative decision or resulting in a legislative decision, and then the other would be administrative decisions. Legislative decisions are always going to go to the body that has been elected by whatever the governing agency is, in this case, the city council. And so in that case, all of the legislative decisions are made by the city council, and Planning Commission simply makes recommendations after trying to vet it, as you said. Mm-hmm. And examples of that would be a general plan amendment, a zone change, and a lot of zoning issues do come in to play. In fact, the city's has been very proactive trying to establish a general plan for the city for zoning, especially downtown, trying to manage the development or redevelopment downtown, mm-hmm. energize development in the downtown area, and to identify what they consider to be areas that certain types of development or zoning would be productive and mm-hmm. and good for the community. So the zoning and general plan are two legislative elements that come in front of the Planning Commission a lot. Then as far as administrative, you could probably consider administrative to be more in the context of check the box. There's a mm-hmm. list of requirements. And as long as the applicant meets those requirements or can check each of the boxes, then they are entitled to what they're asking for under that application. As opposed to legislative, which is much more discretionary, it does require a lot more thought and analysis. And the analysis is to determine whether, for example, in a zone change, whether that zone makes sense in that area for the community. Mm-hmm. With administrative, it's just check the box and if they've met those requirements. And so, again, the city has tried to streamline that process so that the administrative applications can get through the process quicker and easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a useful adjustment to make. You know, some cities were kind of reluctant to make that shift on those administrative items because many cities were still taking basically everything all the way to city council. And I never really saw an upside to that because at that point, as you said, you're really just applying the law that you've already adopted to a set of facts. And if the application satisfies all of the boxes that need to be checked, then there isn't any discretion anymore. So to me, there was never really that much upside in a city council in hearing those, because if you exercise discretion, you're exposing the city to a little bit of liability. And you're also sort of creating an environment where the community may not understand that there is no more discretion, that discretion's already been taken ahead of time. And so they may leave more frustrated than they need to be because the matter's been decided in a prior legislative set of hearings to adopt the law, and now all you're doing is applying it, right?
Right.
So I agree with you. It's been nice that St. George has seen the benefits of sort of going in that direction, because I think it does achieve both of those things. It speeds up the process and also just clarifies where discretion applies and when it doesn't as much.
Well, one of the biggest benefits is I think it just makes things more predictable.
Right.
And that predictability saves money at the end of the day, saves time and money.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the downtown plan. That was a committee that we happened to be on together. And so maybe we just take a little detour about that. I thought it was a good process. And I think there's a reason for some optimism that we can see some redevelopment in downtown and maybe some infill. That was, as you said, you know, when you talk more about general plans and zoning, and almost general plans even more than zoning, that's a pretty elaborate process. That was a fairly long running process and involved a fair amount of involvement from the community, the committee that we were on, but also surveys and so forth. And so, you know, I think, I don't know if you'd have any comment about that piece of it, that, you know, sometimes if it seems like the community doesn't realize there's been quite a bit of thought that's gone in at that sort of 20-year, 30,000-foot perspective, where you're really trying to think about the long term of your city. And that's really what the general plan is meant to do. But maybe you could say a little bit about that. And you know, I hate to almost anticipate some of the stuff you're saying, but you're always so good about helping people on the night understand where we are in this process, whether it's general plan, zoning, preliminary plat. But maybe I'd just open it back up to you to talk on that a bit.
Sure. And you're right. It was fun. It was a long process for that downtown plan. There was a consultant that helped the city, obviously, and helped bring comments and concerns together as we worked through that process. And I think you're right. And I think it would be great for all your listeners to understand that the city really has spent a lot of time to try and identify what might be needed or would be beneficial over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And there's a lot of thought that's gone into it, a lot of work that's gone into it. And I think it, for those that may be listening and might be coming into the city for any kind of application, if you go in assuming that a lot of time has already been spent, it will make your conversations with staff and the city better, because mm-hmm. you'll recognize they have put thought into it. Then you can approach them with trying to understand, perhaps, if there's something you don't understand or you disagree with, understanding why it is they did it. One, it may just solve your concerns why they did it, and you might understand. Mm-hmm. But two, what it may do is allow them to reevaluate why it was done, especially as mm-hmm. time passes. Yeah. That was one of the things I think you and I were trying to help the rest of the group there is understand that to do a plan that far out, we have to be willing to do things that are uncomfortable yeah. now.
Yep.
But in 5 years, they wouldn't be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so if those coming in with applications understand that a lot of thought went into it, and the desire is to make a plan that is long-term, but that plan will adjust. Mm-hmm. As we cross each year, things will require us to reevaluate it. And if we approach the staff and the city with that understanding that we respect what's already been thought about, and then determine whether it can be improved upon because more time has passed and we've learned more mm-hmm. through that that experience. You know, once again, I guess I would just emphasize that if somebody feels like they're hitting a wall working with the city, they will probably get over that if they change the approach just a little bit, working with the staff, even if it's just to try and understand things. Mm-hmm. I think St. George City staff is very good about trying to explain why they think something. Mm-hmm. And I know Planning Commission and City Council will do the same to explain why they're thinking a certain way. And my guess is most will also listen as to why changing it might be a good idea.
Yeah. Now, I think you've hit on a lot of really important points and some really good advice. And you know, as an applicant, I would echo what you're saying. You know, your starting point really ought to be to try to understand the work that's already gone into the designation on your property, the general plan, why the general plan was adopted the way it was, what the zoning is. And oftentimes those two are not identical. You know, oftentimes the general plan is anticipating that a given piece of property is going to develop and it's going to be a mixture of residential and commercial uses, civic uses, et cetera. But until someone brings an application in, the zoning may be well below that anticipated future, right? Especially, this is really common on the periphery of town where the general plan is anticipating a development pattern that's similar to and compatible with the stuff that's already been developed nearby. But the zoning may still be in an ag form or a very low density residential designation. And I personally feel like that sometimes gets the conversation off wrong with the public, not so much with staff. They understand that, and the applicant usually understands that. And like you said, you can kind of navigate that in your conversation with them in terms of understanding where they see this going and what zoning might be most applicable to bring your property into sort of conformance and breathe life into that general plan. I mean, that's ultimately what we're all trying to do. But the public, I feel sometimes that premise gets that conversation off the wrong foot because they see, oh, well, it's zoned ag today. Oh, it's always going to be ag, or it should always be ag because that's great for preserving my views and my, you know, where I recreate or whatever. But I think that's something that is good to keep in mind as an applicant. That's something that you may run into, and there are better and worse ways to navigate through that resistance that you may sometimes get. But I think you also hit on something that's really important to understand as an applicant, which is that your specific application may bring to the surface certain idiosyncrasies in the ordinance today that the staff, the planning commission, the council may all agree ought to be revisited. So there may be some instances where it's worth working through those with staff, and depending on what that issue is, they may be receptive to that. But you've got to start with what you said you've got to start with, which is understanding what the terrain is today and understanding that a lot of work has gone into that. And if you want to change those rules or do something that's out of step with that, it's going to be a lot less predictable, a lot more time consuming. And so buckle up if that's an adventure you choose.
Yeah. Well, if everybody could have your temperament when they come into planning commission or city council, it would be ideal. I think that was one thing that I was always impressed with. Like you said, I think we first met in that arena was planning commission, and probably for Sun River is my guess is what you were coming in for back then, maybe other things. But, and I've said this to others, there are some developers that come in that I know have been thoughtful in their approach, and that their approach hasn't been to maximize the benefit that they can get from the land, but instead, obviously that is in the back of their minds, but they balance it with what's also good for the community. And I'm sure I've said this to you before, you were always somebody, and you are somebody that I know when you come in, that analysis has occurred, and it makes it easier to evaluate. And it's obvious on its face as well, because in the application, we could see that you could ask for more density, or you could have packaged this differently as far as the type of amenities or where they're located, but you've done it in a way to enhance the project, to really make the project beneficial to everyone, the end user, the city, not just the developer. So if most came in thinking along those lines where they balance the benefit they want to get out of it, which they should, there certainly should be a benefit for the developer, with then the benefits that they can bring to the community or the surrounding area, at least near their development, that balance would probably sail through city council and planning commission and staff much quicker and easier.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I think the nice thing is I don't think I'm unique at all in that regard. And I think it does tie back into our involvement with SUBA. And I think, you know, hopefully this is something that comes across to our listeners, especially those members of ours who are frequent applicants. You know, I think one thing that makes our community, and we've seen this with folks, staff that move here from elsewhere, it takes them a minute to kind of adjust, because by and large, we try not to kind of throw rocks at each other. We try to be solutions oriented and community minded. And I think that's partly a consequence of that community that kind of coalesces around the HBA and the community that has evolved there, where this is what we do for a living. We have to make a living at it for sure, but it is also the place where we live and where we want to raise our families. And so I think there's that larger context that hopefully most of us bring to the table when we are in that applicant role. But I think that is good advice though. Maybe just to wrap up real quick, are there any other tips or pointers that you might give to our listeners, especially those that might be applicants at some point before a planning commission, on how they can kind of best present their item for success?
I think that's a great question. First recommendation would be to take advantage of the resources they have in the city staff. Mm-hmm. St. George is good about having their DRC or Development Review Committee.
Yep.
Where they have all of the departments in there to review an applicant's ideas, especially even before the applicant has spent a lot of money doing it. And so They're there to try and identify pitfalls, advantages, things that can be done, all with the purpose of making something work. So their goal isn't, I think you're right that in some areas, it's more adversarial between developers and city the association, the cities. Mm-hmm. Here, it is really a collaboration to try and make things work really well. SUBA's been great at it, has always been a proponent of cooperation with the city rather than competition or contention with the city.
Yeah.
And the city staff is receptive to it. They're great. In fact, I think they breed a lot of that atmosphere is to try and be cooperative with those that come in. And so if you take advantage of even just the DRC, taking advantage of that resource, then they help to move things along and try to fit like a puzzle, fit it together, mm-hmm. making it work. And we've got great, really just tremendous staff. St. George really just has not just knowledgeable and experienced, but helpful.
Yeah.
And they just have a great attitude about trying to make things work. So I would say first, take advantage of that. And you'll learn a lot through that process. From them, you'll learn a lot about your own application, your own development. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, I guess one tip that for me, I think I would certainly approach it this way is if you've got an engineer involved in your project, I would almost say send your engineer mm-hmm. instead of you. Mm-hmm. You obviously are passionate about your project and your engineer is invested in it, but he will come across more objective in it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So if you can send an engineer, not that you can't be there, certainly sure. be there, but your engineer will present it in just the right way. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've met an engineer that hasn't done that mm-hmm. in planning commission. And then a third tip would be just know that in front of planning commission and city council, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah, that's great advice.
So sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
And the staff does a great job in presenting,
yep.
and then they make their recommendation. And a lot of times, you may just want to rest on what they've presented.
Yeah.
Certainly be available if there are questions. And when there are, Planning Commission will ask you specifically, mm-hmm. I'm sure City Council as well. And the staff may turn to you and say, hey, I don't know the answer to that, but the applicant will.
Yeah.
So if you don't have something that you think was left out or needed to be answered, I'd wait for a question.
Yeah. Well, I'd underline all that. That's really good advice. I think it's, like you said, I think especially, as you said, so much of the work here is cleanup and vetting of a plan set, essentially. And having someone that's the technician that put those together and can address those in a just straightforward, less emotional frame is constructive. Yeah. No, I agree with all that. Great, great, great points of advice. I think we'll leave it there. I think it's been a great conversation, Nathan. Again, I really appreciate you doing this, and I think it'll be a great benefit to our listeners. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in again. And if you enjoyed the show, we hope you'll subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time. Thanks.